In a city that never sleeps, legal issues can't wait. Michael Cohan and his tech-savvy team of lawyers are here to separate the signal from the noise and solve problems for every New Yorker in the hustle. This is Hustle and Law.
All right, everybody, we are here with Dr. Okwupedejo, specialist, spine specialist, and surgeon. I know him better as Dr. Bo. And Dr. Bo, we got a lot to talk about, but I want to start with the core board. I know that you're a spine surgeon, obviously, first and foremost, and those accolades and those accomplishments are, you know, much to talk about and much revered. But tell me about the core board, what it is, and what you're doing.
Thanks for having me, first of all. Prior to going into medicine, I've always been into fitness, specifically core fitness. It's just an area that always fascinated me. And the further I got into my career doing spine surgery, the more I began to appreciate ways to protect the spine. And the best way to protect the spine is by having a strong core. So I engaged in multiple core strengthening activities, your classic sit-ups, your crunches, your planks, your leg raises. But I noticed a lot of those routines tend to get repetitive, tend to get boring. I didn't feel they were very dynamic. So I wanted to add some movement into my workouts. So I started using the ab roller. But the ab roller is very restricting. It only goes in one direction, and you know, you can try to force it in other directions, but it's not really meant for 360 dynamic motion. And I looked around for something that would give me that didn't exist. So I went into the lab and started tinkering, and I came up with a rough design, and I spoke to some design engineers, and 360 Core Board was born from there.
How'd you know where to start? How'd you know to contact design engineers? How did you know? What was the first step?
Honestly, I had the concept and I started sketching things out, and I went to Home Depot and I started looking at wheels, and I thought I wanted it to be wide and supportive. And I bought a skateboard. I took the wheels off and I got these other wheels I got from Home Depot. And I started, you know, kind of moving that around, and I felt, yes, this is actually the movement that I had in mind.
So you literally scrapped it together from a bunch of parts from Home Depot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was all about movement. I needed that movement. So I'm like, all right, I want this movement. How do I create this movement? So Home Depot created the movement. And then, all right, how do I make this real? And then start talking to other colleagues. Who knows engineers? Who knows design engineers? And one thing led to another. I met a couple of design engineers. We went through a couple of iterations to perfect to where we are now. But in the end, I'm very pleased with our end product. Very pleased.
Obviously, this comes from a desire to help your clients and patients in alternative ways. Do you think that there's a problem with modern medicine when it comes to prescription drugs?
Absolutely. I think a lot of doctors tend to go to what the easy way out is, you know, which is you're in pain, let me give you something to just quell your pain. But that creates other issues, you know, especially with narcotics. You know, I tell my patients narcotics alter your brain chemistry. So even if you've had surgery, try to limit how long you're on these medications, because you create more of a problem by having them on doses that are too strong or being on the meds for too long. So most of my patients are understanding. They work with me. And after a certain window, I start to wean them down. And for the most part, I can get most patients off of their medications.
How do you handle ones that don't want to get off or that actually do get addicted?
I haven't had too many get addicted, fortunately. But the ones who have been, I'd call them stubborn and not cooperative in following the regimen that I'd like them to follow, I send to pain management. And pain management, they are specially trained to deal with these challenging situations, and they have other tools in their drawers to get patients, hopefully, off of narcotics. As a spine surgeon, there are only so many medications I work with, you know, on a regular basis. So pain management specialists have many more medications that, you know, they can kind of combine to get patients off narcotics. So I direct them in that way.
And how about the core board? Is the core board device now, or do you see it becoming something that could be used for post-op or operative therapy?
I see core board more as preventative initially, right? Because the stronger your core is, the less likely you are to get injured. So I promote people strengthening their cores before they engage in activities that could lead to injury, before, you know, you're in the gym too often and doing the wrong thing, before you're doing your job at Amazon and lifting boxes all day or doing construction. So if you have a baseline kind of base of core strength, then your odds of injuring yourself become lower. And on the other side, post-op, once you've healed from the acute surgical period, Now you're looking for ways to become more active, to become more stable, and to possibly prevent yourself from getting hurt again. And that's where core board can come in. Core board has varying degrees of difficulty based on the movement you engage in. So I've kind of listed the movements that I deem as being basic movements. So I suggest patients who are just getting started to start with the basic movements. And as they get stronger, they can then move forward to the more advanced movements.
So you've got, let's talk about the hustle a little bit. So you got two businesses, right? You got the main medical practice. Did you start out working for someone or did you jump into your own practice right away after school?
Initially, I worked with an orthopedic surgeon, general orthopedic surgeon. And within the practice, I was the spine surgeon. I did that for a couple of years. And then I actually transitioned to a hospital because I wanted a wide net. I wanted to just kind of have as many patients referred to me as possible. But I found the hospital set up to be a bit restricting in terms of being creative and kind of marketing to a broader population. And that's when I set up on my own. So I actually set up my own in 2012. And I've been able to expand to both New York and New Jersey. I've been very creative with marketing. 360 Core Board has come about since that time. And I feel this model allows me to maximize the influence that I can have. So I'm very pleased with my current structure.
A lot of younger doctors, and you'll hear this, they'll say, well, I don't want to open my own practice. Insurance payouts are low. Medicine is becoming conglomerate owned. All the big guys like Northwell and NYU are buying everybody up. What do you say to that?
That's real. That's real. It's a challenge. I wouldn't lie to anyone and say this is easy. I've been around long enough to see the evolution, and it definitely gets tougher every year. So I think understanding the lay of the land allows me kind of the experience to navigate and to know how to keep surviving. But for someone who's just coming out, it's definitely daunting. So being on your own and hustling and having your own practice is not for everyone. And not every market can you do that. I think the New York, New Jersey market is very unique in the sense that it allows for that creativity because it's just a big market. So there are enough patients that we can go out and get to kind of keep it going. But anyone with concerns about going on their own early on, those concerns are valid and you're definitely taking a chance.
What did you do? How did you get around? You leave the hospital, right? Day one. What do? You're working late nights. How are you building the business?
So when I left the hospital, I'd been out already for about 4 years. So I had a certain understanding of the market. At that time, I was only in New Jersey, even though I was licensed in New York as well. Then I expanded my business into New York. I started creating subleases in the different boroughs. I started broadening my network. And gradually, as I understood more where patients can come from, I was able to create enough of a network that the practice started to grow.
You're operating in a position where people are coming to you with obviously very serious injuries, right?
Yeah.
But the physical toll on you is also of a concern, right? How do you keep your body and how do you keep your mind in it to be constantly in and out of the operation room, dealing with difficult patients? How do you keep yourself up?
Toll is physical and mental. It's both, you know, because it is spine surgery. And sometimes some cases are complicated. Sometimes patients have complications. And so your job never ends. You know, it's a 24/7 job. So for me, I've always had a very consistent fitness regimen. And currently, I'm up 5 days a week, sometime between 4 and 5 a.m. And I have an hour and a half to 2 hour routine. And I'm very disciplined. And that's how physically I keep myself sharp. And when I'm in that zone, I'm also meditating. I try to keep mind body as one unit. And I'm very aware of where I am in terms of time and space. And I'm a fighter and I keep it moving.
You have a six pack or no?
It's pretty nice for a 9-year-old. It's pretty nice. My wife is very pleased when the shirt comes off. I'll put it that way.
Oh, man. So listen, I tell everybody, so I'm also an early riser. I'm up at 4:35. Yeah. I try to beat the kids.
Absolutely.
Because that's my goal, is to have energy for the kids. Because once they get up, it throws your day into a whirlwind. Anybody that has kids knows.
Right.
How do you communicate that? I mean, you must be looking at patients coming in and not all of them are in the best shape. In fact, they're probably, most of them are not in good shape. How do you level with them and how do you communicate to them that this, that a standard workout regimen is the way to heal? How do you deal with that?
I try to be very scientific. BMI, there's a certain range that is just recommended, right? 25 to 30. And the further beyond 30 you are, the more stress your back gets. So I'm very by the book in terms of letting people know that they are out of that range. So, hey, listen, the further away you are from this recommended range, the more likely you'll have back problems. So, you know, if you're weighing 250 and you're 5'10", then your BMI is closer to 40, when ideally it should be close to 30. I'll do the calculation. So if you lost this amount of weight, then odds are you'll feel better. And if you strengthen your core, odds are you feel better. So I try to make it very scientific. People who are overweight know they're overweight. Like, you can look in the mirror. You know, you can hop on a scale. You know, when you're overweight, you're overweight. So I think it just depends on how the doctor puts it. But I always place the emphasis on feeling better. So you lose weight, you get closer to the ideal BMI, your back will feel better. You're in the gym.
You feel helpless sometimes?
Do I feel helpless?
Yeah, patients don't listen. They don't want to change. They don't want to do it.
Absolutely not. I never feel helpless. You know, at the end of the day, it's your prerogative. Like, I can only advise you, but your pain is subjective. So if you don't follow my advice, if you don't do the things that your doctor's recommending based on his experience and expertise to make yourself feel better, then you are the one living with the decisions that you've made. So I guide, and I hope you follow my guidance, but there is zero feeling of helplessness on my part.
You find that your patients actually listen, or could you assign a percentage to it? Who listens, who doesn't?
I'd say in terms of listening and actually putting the advice into practice, I'd say it's 50-50.
It's not bad. I would have expected less.
It's high because, you know, I have a lot of energy and patients can sense that. Patients know that I want them to get better. And patients like the enthusiasm I show whenever they are showing progress. So it's a partnership. So I think a lot of patients like that. Okay, I'm going to see Dr. Bo today. I know he'll be happy if I've dropped a few pounds. And many patients will say, hey, doc, I haven't seen you in a couple months. Look at me, you know, what do you think? And I'm, oh, my God, it looks like you've lost some weight. And, you know, I'm happy. I celebrate with them. And they like that feedback. So, yeah, it becomes very cyclical where they do the right thing. They feel better. I celebrate with them and they keep it going. So it's a nice back and forth.
Where does this motivation come from? Is there something in your background or your childhood? Did you know that somebody that suffered from back problems as a kid growing up? Where does this motivation to help people and get people right come from? Because it's not easy. It's not easy to stay consistent.
Absolutely. Both my parents are in the medical field. My dad was a pharmacist. Mom was a nurse. They're both retired now. They're both very healthy in their late 70s, early 80s. And them having an active lifestyle and being very positive and encouraging and wanting their kids to follow that model, that's where it begins. And a lot of it is self-driven as well. So you start developing good habits and you start having a vision of what you want to accomplish. And you put in the work, you get results, and you get creative, and you know, your world just expands. So for me, it's getting the most that I can out of life. And it's fun. It's fun. And the older I get, the more creative I am, the more energy I put into it. And I feel like I'm just getting started.
What do you say to the patients that may not have grown up with that sort of background, with that medical field background or that motivation, you know, to stay in shape and do what they have to do?
It becomes how you want to feel. You know, you have control over how you want to feel. And ultimately, one of the things I emphasize is graceful aging. How do you want to feel as you get older, right? If you want to live a full, complete life, do you want to spend that time laying around in pain, limited, or do you want to have a great feeling? Do you want to have energy? Do you want to be able to explore locally, maybe internationally? And the best way to do that is by doing good things with your body. And I can guide you. I can help you get there. So I think if you show them the value of health, the value of feeling good and how much more complete their lives can be, then that motivation can then come. But ultimately, if you want to feel good and have a good life, then you put in the work to get there. And I think a lot of patients appreciate that, especially if they have someone who's going to work with them to get there.
Let's talk about you coming up. So you go to Brown University. Not bad. Not bad. Okay, school. Okay, school.
I liked it.
You liked it. What are your motivations? Where was that spark to say, you know, I want to help. I want to work on the spine. Did it come in college? Did it come before college? Tell us about your experience kind of coming up and what motivated you there.
So I always knew I wanted to go into medicine. Both parents had a medical background, as I mentioned. So actually, when I got into Brown, I was already in med school because Brown has a combined program called the PLME program. So it's kind of a pre-medical program where you're already in med school from the day you get into college. And after 4 years at Brown, I loved Brown, but I wanted to see a different environment. So I applied out and ended up going to Hopkins. And I've always been into athleticism, and orthopedics is kind of the best way to merge medicine and athleticism, as far as I was concerned. So I applied into orthopedic surgery. And once within ortho, then the question was, what specialty within ortho would I pick? And the way my mind works, I like things that are a little more complex. I like things that not everyone necessarily will be comfortable with, things that are challenging. And within orthopedics, I felt spine was the most challenging, the most delicate. And I felt you had to have a certain mindset to work around these dangerous, delicate structures. And that kind of matches who I am. So spine just worked. And I love the field. I love getting the gratification of patients' lives getting better. Yeah, it's just been a fun ride.
There are very few orthopedic surgeons in the country. There are very few spine surgeons in the country. Even less minority spine surgeons in the country. How do you describe your challenges? I mean, if like someone that's younger, that's coming up, that's maybe in med school, is listening to this or wants to know how they get started, what were your challenges like as a minority? Did you not have any challenges coming up?
My biggest challenges probably came, you know, living in the Midwest, because I went to residency in the Midwest at Washington University in St. Louis. I live in St. Louis. You know, I'm born in Brooklyn. I was raised in New York. New York has a certain level of diversity that the Midwest necessarily doesn't have. So it certainly was an adjustment being there, dealing with people whose mindset may not necessarily match what I was used to. So you kind of learn how to navigate around it. I've always had a very strong mentality. So I like overcoming challenges. So no one or nothing can stop me from a goal that I've already set. I wouldn't say there were any blatant incidences that were potentially going to derail, but you learn how to navigate. You learn how to recognize potential challenges, and the goal is just to navigate around them. And at the end of the day, you know that you've got a big country, and once you get past a certain stage in your career, then other options will be there where you could be more flexible and have more determination of what you do. So there were no blatant obstacles, but still the mindset is overcome, get around, keep it moving.
So you decide you want to start the core board. You start putting it together and reaching out to people. How do you have time? How much time are you spending on this day? Are you coming home from surgery and you're working on the core board design or sales and marketing? You know, tell us a little bit about balancing that and what you're doing to keep that business going and running and ultimately growing.
So that's actually been a major challenge. It's been a major challenge because overall, my life is maintained by my practice. And just the way billing works, per capita, one surgery, you know, nets way more than multiple core boards. So the priority obviously has to be the practice. With core board, I try to put in time at night. I try to be creative with how I've marketed. I've teamed up with online marketers, and we've marketed on Facebook, on Instagram. We've gotten to a certain point where I feel it may have plateaued in that setting. So the next step for me is to partner with venture capitalism, who may have greater resources, more people to help get the message out more and to get more products out into the world. Because ultimately, I need this product to be global, and there's no way I can do that on my own. So I'm currently looking for the right partner who sees my vision, who appreciates the product and what it can do, and ultimately get it out to the world. So once I've identified the proper partner, I hope that you guys will see more of 360 Core Board in your gyms and on TV, and because it's everyone who's touched the product loves it. So I believe in it. I know it's real, and I know it's unstoppable.
Were there nights where you wanted to give up?
There have been times that I've taken pauses, absolutely. You know, I've taken pauses and tried to figure out what the next move is. But I try to have conversations with intelligent people who may have a perspective coming from a different world. You know, I'm a surgeon. I'm a scientist. I'm not from that business world. So if I talk to someone in the business world who can recognize or who can offer me a perspective that I don't have, then I get ideas as to what I can do. So ultimately, I will never stop as long as there's belief that the product can be helpful. I just have to keep working to find the right partners to get it out. And hopefully within the next year, I'll have that proper partnership and it will explode.
As a businessman owner, how do you overcome self-doubt, deflation? How do you overcome that little voice in your head that says, like, maybe this isn't worth it? I should just continue doing surgery. Should I just put this money in my business? How do you overcome that and say to yourself, no, this is something that I want to do. I want to take this internationally. What's your mindset?
I need to hear a lot of no's before I give up. So if I hear 20 no's, then maybe I'll expand it to 30 no's. But I haven't heard enough no's or this won't work to give up. And I've actually taken it. One thing I've been doing that I hadn't done earlier, just in terms of putting more time in, is physically going to gyms and demonstrating. You know, I was at UFC gym recently, and the response was great. Like, they loved it. They gave me ideas of other gyms I should go visit and other people who may want one in their hands. So I think I just have to get it into enough people's hands so they feel it and know what it does, and then it'll take off. So it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter. I've had too many positive responses to not believe that it will be something that will be great. So I just have to keep pushing until I reach that threshold, and then it's going to explode. It's unstoppable.
Do you have a mentor or someone you turn to for advice?
I have very good friends. I have very good friends, very intelligent people who I've had in my life for a while. And, you know, we have conversations and we exchange ideas and we encourage each other. Those are the people I lean on.
And how about books and podcasts? Are there any resources that you turn to? Are you reading in the morning? Are you reading on the weekend? Are you listening to somebody for motivation?
I do a lot of reading. I go online, you know, to read more about things that are outside of my world, like business, right? So I'm a scientist. I'm an inventor. I create. I have a patent on Coreboard. I have another product called a Dynaplank. I'll have the patent for that within a month. So I have more and more products from ideas. It's just about rolling out these ideas into the world. And that's where I need the proper partnerships and the proper knowledge that I may not necessarily have. So I go online and I read about marketing. I read about the business aspect and I get ideas from people. I keep talking to people in those worlds. And each day there are more links, more chains being created. So the momentum is certainly building.
We've had some mutual clients together, and any of my clients that end up with you or being consulted by you could possibly need a very serious surgery, right? One that involves installing a metal rod in their spine or a metal piece in their spine. What do you say to the clients that are weary of doing this type of procedure? What's your mindset and what's your conversation like? And what do you say to other clients who may be hesitant to go into something like this?
A lot of people's hesitation comes from fear and lack of education. So I spend time educating. So I always make sure they have their imaging, so they see exactly what problem they have. So I'm defining exactly what they have. And then I go through exactly what the procedure is. I go through the risks. I have bone models. I have x-rays, MRIs, and I go through everything very systematically. And one thing almost every patient to a man or woman says is, especially if they've seen another surgeon, no one has taken the time to break it down to me and make it as clear as to what they're trying to accomplish. And most of spine surgery actually is not very dangerous. Like, there's certain delicate parts of the case, but with visualization and protection of the neural elements, most patients can get through surgery without any issues. So I make sure they understand that. And once I break it down, most patients get pretty comfortable. So I haven't had too much resistance when I've educated them properly. But I make sure I go through every tool to have them visualize and understand and feel like they can do the procedure themselves. A lot of them will say, oh, you make it sound so simple. That's because I've broken it down where it's so clear that they kind of see the step-by-step process that it takes to get it done. And most of them feel very comfortable in the end.
And your feedback is that that's what differentiates you from other surgeons and doctors.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm very patient. I make sure they understand. I take my time. I show videos. I have bone models. I have x-rays on my computer, pre-op, post-op. So they fully understand what's involved in the case that they're going through. I break down what the complications can be. For the most part, most patients leave, once they have that education, very comfortable.
So when patients are coming to you, it's obviously for a very serious injury. What differentiates you from other surgeons?
What I often hear from patients is they'll say, surgeon didn't take that time to explain things to me. The surgeon didn't really show me my imaging, didn't show me what's going on specifically with me. So what differentiates me from any other surgeon is I believe the education component is more important than anything else. You have to understand why you have pain. You have to understand your pathology. I want you feeling like you went to med school after you're done spending 10, 15 minutes with me. I'm going through that MRI. I'm breaking it down. I'm showing you what's normal, showing you what's abnormal, showing you how it correlates to what you're feeling. Make sure everything maps out. I'm picking the proper surgery that matches your pathology with what you feel and having the right solution for you. So with things being broken down that clearly, the confidence level in the patient knowing they'll feel better translates into them feeling comfortable with what I'm going to do, and they feel the execution will be there just based on how well I've explained things. So I think that's what differentiates me from anyone else. A lot of surgeons do not have the patience, don't understand the importance of that. And for me, that's priority number one.
What about your staff? How do you get your staff on board? How do you create the culture at your office that, hey, we're here to educate, we're here to really show people what they're going through so that they understand?
Fortunately, I've had very little turnover. So I've had staff that understand the mission, they understand what's important to me, and I make it very clear to them. And if you have the right people, we'll all have the same mindset and we'll all be working towards the same thing.
Do you have to reiterate that to them? How often do you tell them that?
I think it's part of the culture. I think it's part of the culture. You know, I have a great manager, a great assistant manager. So they reinforce that message and it just bleeds into the culture of the entire firm. And they see how excited I get when a patient does well. And they know that that's the bottom line. And they in turn get excited. So they know the bottom line is for our patients to get better, because our patients then become the biggest marketers for the practice. A happy patient will go out and tell 100 people, either online or in person. And then the practice grows. And for them, then their salaries grow, right? They earn more each year because now I'm getting a raise next year. Oh, I'm getting a good bonus. So that translates into stability and financial benefits for everyone all around. So firm understanding overall as to what we're trying to accomplish.
So Dr. Bo, you mentioned that you have another product in the pipeline. Tell us a little bit about it.
All right. So there is a patent coming out for a new product that I have. If anyone's familiar with TRX, it's kind of based on the concept of TRX. It's also core focused. It's also dynamic, but it's even more challenging than 360 core board. So please keep a lookout. You're going to see this new. I can't tell you too much about it since the patent's just emerging, but it's conceptually similar to core board, but more challenging. And look out for Dr. Bo showing you 360 core board along with another TRX type product, all aimed at strengthening your core. And if you dedicate yourself to core strength, you will feel better and your life will just improve. I promise you that.
Dr. Bo, thank you very much for your time. Hope to see you again soon.
Thank you.
Until next time, New York, keep hustling. And we'll be right here to keep you one step ahead. Ready to talk to a lawyer today? Find us in the five boroughs at CohanLegal.com.